Welcome to Two-Legged Tie. I'm Eric Major.
I'm Martin French.
I'm Augustus Waiters.
We've got two matches to catch you up on that took place over this past weekend. The Rovers played the Michigan Bucks, and they also played FC London, both of which were away.
Then following that, we have two more games, one away in Dayton, and then a home game on Friday.
Really looking forward to the home game on Friday. It's against Toronto 3, I believe is the official name now. Toronto 3, for those of you that speak English. So, yeah, there should be some interesting goings-on with DCR, but I guess we have to talk about them, since they did, in fact, happen, the two matches this past weekend.
I recall no games that you speak of.
Yeah, they didn't happen.
These are not the matches you're looking for?
they were glorified friendlies, is what we were saying. They don't count. They don't mean anything.
If it's on the banks of a great lake, it doesn't count.
So that means we're just wiping out the entire city of Cleveland.
Sounds good to me.
I'm not hearing
a
no.
Can we at least keep LeBron?
No, yeah. He gets to go away with the mosquitoes the size of Volkswagens.
No, we got to keep LeBron.
I guess it would make sense given that you're both Liverpool supporters.
Damn right we are.
These weren't, let us say, the most fortuitous results, but
consider who they were playing, the top two teams in the league.
Yeah.
Or the top two teams in the division, at least.
Yeah, they're not bad teams at all. I mean, Michigan Bucks are perennial favorites to win PDL.
They won it last year.
Yeah, and, you'd want to be a brave man to bet against the Michigan Bucks at least getting to the playoffs. How did we do against them, gents?
4-0. We lost. It sounds worse than it actually was from what we're seeing in the stats, at least. None of these games are being put up on YouTube, right?
As far as I have seen, no, they're not.
So it's very difficult for us to make judgment calls based on the away fixtures. We can't see them. They don't happen in front of our eyes. I don't know how the game went. I mean, stats-wise, I mean, we were outgunned, but it wasn't as if we were completely run through. I mean, we got our shots off, it looks like. I mean, you want to go over the stat line there, Eric?
Well, it should be noted that Michigan got two goals on either side of halftime. And that was basically following after 17 shots to 6 that they basically won that battle. But Rovers got 6 shots against the defending champs. That's very, very encouraging to me.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Those guys can play.
And more importantly, the saves were 8-5 in favor of Rovers, but Rovers, of their 6 shots, got 5 on target. That's even more encouraging.
That's intriguing. I mean, even though they had 17, nearly 3 times, we were nearly on par in terms of shots on target. So at least we've got an eye for goal, if maybe not the opportunity for goal.
Yeah, we had 5 guys with shots on goal. Jonesy had 2. Ace got some minutes out, and he got a shot. Andre had a shot. Tom Moody had a shot. And Dan Chiavi got a shot.
That's encouraging to see it sort of not all being channeled into one guy. It means that we've got a little bit of breadth to our attack.
Yes, and we also had our kid, Sam Stockton, who played 90 minutes against KW. Kid fresh out of Trinity, who's been with the Rovers since the academy was conceived in 2012.
That's fantastic.
Got 90 minutes against Michigan Bucks.
One of the things I always love as a football fan is seeing players come through the ranks. Guys who maybe start out 15, 16, 14 even in some cases, making it their way all the way up to actually playing for the senior team. A great sign of the depth within the club, but it also is kind of, he's one of us in a way. He's been around longer than most people knew that there was football in this part of the world.
This is very true, and he was the high schooler that we had mentioned last week that we were waiting for information on. Thank you, Nathan, for that information, by the way. Michigan and Rovers both had 3 corners apiece. I wasn't able to find conversion stats to be able to tell how effective they were. It looks like Rovers ran a 3-5-2 or some variation on that shape, looking at the
3-5-2. Interesting taking that 2 and away. Are we talking about a 3-5-2 with wingbacks? Are we talking wingers or something?
It looked like it was, according to the statistics, it was 3 defenders, 5 midfielders, 2 forwards. I couldn't really judge anything with regard to positional.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they were playing sort of wingback because it looked like they had pulled Tarver up.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like wingbacks.
So
that's an interesting direction. I mean, most of football, the standard formation at the moment seems to be 4-2-3-1. But I am seeing a lot of countries trying, countries particularly, I think Germany, I could be wrong, I know Miguel Herrera in Mexico likes the wing-backs. And the 3-5-2 seems to be coming into vogue again.
Everything old is new again.
Yes, everything right is wrong again, too. I think we have the staff for that. I think we have the players who to make a 3-5-2 work. And to be honest...
Well, the thing, too, though, is with them having the majority of kids being so young and being younger than us, obviously,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there's no real static positions for quite a few of them in terms of at least the substitutes. So that gives you a bit of freedom. And we know Tarver's, he'll run all day. So just put him wherever you need him.
Yeah.
And we're happy to see he wasn't as banged up as we thought he was after KW United.
Yeah, he didn't look great after that, but I'm glad to see he's on the road again.
Played full 90 against Michigan, got two fouls for his trouble.
Yeah.
So it was a sort of atypical Robbie Tarver performance insofar as he played 90 minutes, but typical insofar as he got two fouls.
But did he get injured? That's the question.
No, because he played 90 minutes against FC London.
Wow, so he didn't get injured, so it's not a typical Robbie Tarver performance.
For this season, anyway,
but,
yes.
But it's great to hear. He played 90 minutes in both games.
Yes.
And those games back-to-back. That's good to see in his performance that he's got the fitness back, that his knee will hold up for both, because it looked pretty banged up.
Oh, it wasn't very pretty.
There were a number of individuals on that. What was it? What was our last game? KW?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was our last home game. A number of guys on our squad that had knee braces on, to the point where I looked over and at one point the entire left side of the field was filled with our guys with knee braces. So hopefully that doesn't bode for anything in the future.
It should be noted, too, that we have not received an update on Alexi. So he didn't play at all. It doesn't look like he traveled. We don't know the extent or breadth of what happened with his knee.
Hopefully it is just a precautionary measure. I think we can trust our coach and everybody at the club to have the welfare of the players first and foremost. And I think that would have been probably a decision they would have made to say, Alexi, let's make sure you're sorted. Now, let's hope he's sorted for the two games this week. Basically, they crushed us 4-0.
Yeah. We had our own Ryan Sullivan get the only card of the match, a yellow for reasons indeterminate. I'm going to fancy that he tried to take his studs into a referee's chin.
Fair. Hard, but fair.
With some of the officiating we've had this season?
That would have been a straight red. So
depends on the official.
It may have been a linesman. You can't get red for beating up a linesman. I'm pretty sure that's got to be in the rules.
That's applause worthy right there.
One of those slip fall. Hey, oh gosh, I got to go for the ball. Sorry, Lino.
As long as it's not double footed like that guy in USL there last week, you're probably all right.
With that win, Michigan moved to top table and they remain undefeated. They are indeed the pace setters this season.
Yeah, not many people surprised.
No, not at all.
I'm sure KW wouldn't like to agree with you, but so KW fans, write in and tell us how much you think we're wrong.
Please, give us as much guff as you feel necessary. And unfortunately, Rovers fell to bottom, and that's on goal differential.
Yeah, and that was day one of a two-day extravaganza of playing away against teams who are pretty strong.
That's an understatement.
So, FC London.
Lost to London 4-0 in London.
London is a big city. There's 7 or 8 million. You'd expect them to have a good team.
The other London, gentlemen.
London, Kentucky?
No, not that.
The other London?
The other London.
Oh,
the one that nobody knew existed except for FC London. It's in Canada, literally. The only thing I care about in Canada is in Vancouver.
FC London. But they're a good side, from what I can tell.
We saw the heart they have.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a team just not roll over and fight their way through to that draw they had.
Yeah.
That was impressive unto itself. They got two goals on either side of the half. Just same trap they fell into.
Oh, God.
In terms of conceding, but London just outgunned them 21-11 in shots.
Ooh, that's disparate.
But it should be noted, too, with this win, London moved to joint top in terms of points.
So basically,
Michigan's top
we managed to play the league leaders both times.
Yeah, Michigan is basically top pace setter by virtue of the fact they're undefeated, but London's right in there with them. We got 11 shots on London.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's encouraging too.
And saves.
I mean, these teams have very organized back lines. Their midfield can be dense at times. And again, one must remember these are guys who are pretty much playing together as a unit for the first time.
I don't think there is a downside to losing to the top two teams in your league.
No, I'd agree.
Again, as we've referenced with regard to this division, it's a much stronger division in terms of competition.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were able to put 9 shots on goal against London, and putting a high percentage of shots in on these two oppositions is a very encouraging sign.
Mm-hmm. What I will say is this: how many of our guys returned from last year? There's only about like 5 or 6, right?
That I know of, less than 5.
So like. 5. Let's go with a high number. 5 guys. We've got a squad of 20?
Approximately 25, I believe.
25. So, 25. 5 guys are back from last year. Brand new coaching staff. Everything's changed.
Mm.
Can you really say, hey, they should be going up there and winning the title?
No. Realistically, I mean, you look at your Michigans, you look at your, to be honest, any of the Canadian teams.
Except for Toronto. Nobody wants to look at Toronto. Only the Maple Leafs fans, and nobody listens to them.
But looking at these teams, you're talking about teams who are pretty much round-the-year teams. They're very organized, very skillful, very able, high technical push, and most importantly of all, they're working together for great lengths of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in one sense, it's a model to admire and to learn from, but... The likes of ourselves are going to have difficulty against a team that's been playing together so long.
I would completely agree with that. But it is also worth noting that they are getting the ball in on goal, and they just have really not had much in the way of luck in terms of getting it past.
Yeah.
Jonesy has the only 2 goals of the season, both of which were very good goals. Unfortunately, the production and the luck is just working against them.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens. But we had another good array of distribution. Another, looks like 6 guys had shots.
Again, that's very heartening to see that it's not just all through one guy.
Including 2 from Robbie Tarver.
Robbie Tarver had 2 shots.
Yes. Gimpy knees and everything, he had 2 shots. Jonesy only had 1.
Oh, that's a little bit more alarming.
It seems more, the way that they were playing it looks like it was more everybody coming up from the back. Because Andre had 4.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're looking possibly at set pieces for a lot of this kind of stuff.
Set pieces or counter.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Do we know what they were running formation-wise?
It looked like it was about the same.
3-5-2 again.
Yeah. Wasn't our philosopher king talking about only playing the 4-2-3-1?
Well, I don't think it was a case of only playing that, but that's his sort of preferred direction to be going. The one thing I would say with that is any good manager is going to realize that sometimes your ideals are not going to help you win games. Look, last year at Bayern in the, was it the semi or the quarter against Real, where they had all the possession and conceded 4 goals. It makes sense for him to shake things up. And the great thing about the 4-2-3-1 is that it is very flexible and it can convert to a 3-5-2 comparatively easily.
Well, the fluidity. He did say he wanted to do a bit more in terms of fluidity of mm-hmm. player movement in terms of the tactical shape. So yes, that fits perfectly in.
That's total football. You know, the formation is there for commentators at the game, rather than necessarily the players who are going to run it.
Another interesting note was Trey Mews, another high schooler, got his first run out of the season. Got 10 minutes.
Go away. That's great.
Yeah. So it's good to see Lee Chalmers bleeding in the new kids.
And against big teams as well.
Yes.
That's not something you just casually do.
No.
So he's clearly got ideas for these guys in the longer term. And to be honest, I'll take a season of consolidation and development almost any season, because in the long run, that's going to make the team stronger and push us possibly to challenge for stuff.
And in truth, I think it's better to bleed the kids in the bigger matches because mm-hmm. the exposure to the better talented teams, the teams that have all this work rate, have all the organization, have everything else, they're the ones that you want them to be immersed in and challenging.
That makes sense to me.
With that, London drew level at the top, and Rovers are firmly in the bottom, but that happens.
So how far behind are we at this point?
Rovers are 1 point adrift of Dayton, 3 adrift of Turon, 3 in Pittsburgh.
So what you're saying, or what I'm hearing, which may not be the same thing, is if we win the game against Dayton, we're back into it a bit?
Well, with the way that everything is in terms of the table at the moment, you've got your top three fighting for their own. You've got, I think, 4 points separating your top two with London and Michigan over KW. Then the bottom four are basically separated by 3 points.
So that gives us a lot to fight for in our neighborhood.
It's basically quite open. What I'm hearing is 2 wins and we're at the top of the bottom.
2 wins we could, and sustaining it, we could possibly get Open Cup.
Interesting. That's
finishing fourth, discounting the Canadian teams, there's a possibility there.
Wow. That's positive stuff to hear.
So basically what you're saying is, go Canada.
Go Canada, and
somehow fluke our way into the Open Cup. Well, I wouldn't say fluke. If we make it to the Open Cup, we'll have earned that.
Yeah, anybody who's in there got there the hard way.
You bought your way in.
Well, yeah.
The only real issue, though, is the negative 13 goal differential means they're going to have to work to get the fourth spot.
Hey, that's why you don't leave it to the refs.
But they have 9 matches. There's enough time for them to make up ground.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We won't need to worry about our goal difference. We'll just do it the old-fashioned way. Just get more points.
We'll grind it out, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. exactly what we'll do.
Should also be noted, coming up on Wednesday, we've got Dayton at Dayton. That should be fun, especially seeing as how the Dutch Lions have been conceding left, right, and center at home.
Yeah, I heard that they're not exactly relishing the parachute down.
Shipped 7.
Oof.
And scored 1.
In what, something like 3 games, were you saying?
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit obvious. I mean, when they went down from the USL, I mean, I think like half their squad jumped ship, did they not?
I think at least. Yeah. This is the thing. Good players will stay in their division while the clubs move.
I don't remember how many transfers came straight off of Dayton, but I remember it was pretty substantial. A number of guys just either went off to another USL club or applied their trade in the lower divisions in Europe, mm-hmm. or just quit the game altogether.
Well, it should be noted, too, that their away form is that they scored 3 and shipped 4. So they're far, far better away than they are home at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think it's...
That's not really saying much, by the way.
Comparatively.
Yeah,
it means they're a lot more vulnerable at home, and that means that Rovers, if the way they've been playing, could potentially steal at least 3 points.
So, fingers crossed we do.
And then we play Turon 3 on Friday.
Yes, that's going to be a lot of fun.
If Turon 3 keeps up with the theme of Toronto lower division clubs, hopefully it'll be a massacre in our favor.
I'd accept that.
I'd gladly accept seeing that.
Mm-hmm. So, that game is on at 7:30, so if you're thinking about doing something Friday night, we'd recommend you come out and join us.
It'll be a lot of fun, and we will be making noise, and you'll get to see our wonderful mascot.
We'd never be so lucky he comes a second time.
He's on hiatus again?
We'll see. There will be a mascot there who will be wandering around with a sword and badgering people to ring cowbells and such like. Please come along and join in. It's actually more fun the more you put into it.
And yes, that is very much a good point. The more you get involved, the more fun it will be.
And don't forget to join us down at our end, which is the south end in the main stand.
Yeah, as I've taken to calling it, the stern end.
The stern end.
Yes, with the concession area and the merch table being at the bow end, keeping with the nautical theme.
Yeah, walk the plank and join us.
That's right.
We'll be back after this entertaining break.
Welcome back to Two-Legged Tie. Today, we're going to talk about something completely different. We're talking video games. Today is the opening day of E3, the Electronics Entertainment Expo in Los Angeles. Today was also the release of the official release of the gameplay trailer for FIFA 16. Ooh. And so we wanted to talk a little video games. So I think this all started back in the 80s with a certain manager?
It goes back before that, actually. It goes back to at least the Atari or ColecoVision before.
It goes back. The notion of getting a football game has been around for a long time. The first one in any true sense is probably the original Football Manager, which came out in 1982. Hugely addictive, hugely popular. Really nothing to write home about in terms of graphics or gameplay as such, because it was a classic computer game was back then. It was hugely successful. I think, was it the second one was even more successful, the one Football Manager 2? It was massive and sold, I mean, they maintained, I think that by the end of it, they'd sold a million. Just took the format, updated some of the details. Eventually they moved on to Football Manager 3, which didn't work as well. But before I get to that bit, I mean, that established the first kind of notion of what football game was about. The first arcade-style football game for home computers that I can remember was a cartridge called International Soccer. I see two nodded heads. Yeah, International Soccer was great because it wasn't very good. They made a big deal of their reaction things where the ball could hit you in the head and bounce funnily towards the other side. It was playable because there was nothing else.
Playable is being used with air quotes in this scenario.
Yes.
The loosest definition possible for playable.
The thing that looked like kind of like a ball went off the thing that looked kind of like a player towards the thing that looked actually quite like a goal. It was fun, though. A simple little game, but very soon that was to be superseded. There was a number of different arcade-style games. Your actual coin-op arcades, you had some stuff going on. I can't remember the games, but there was one that I was absolutely addicted to in the late 80s, which had, I think it was eight teams. The two Milans, Juventus, the two Madrids, Barca, and probably Bayern Munich and maybe Benfica. And it was murder on a tenpenny piece.
Just an insert here to say that the name of the game I was actually thinking of is EuroLeague. I thoroughly recommend checking it out if you've got 10 pence and are living in 1990.
That's a very odd collection of teams outside of AC Milan and Barcelona.
Well, those were all names at the time. Atletico.
Well, I guess Juventus too, yes.
Juventus were a big team. Bayern were a traditional team rather than a big team. Benfica, again, the same. But those were kind of the big European teams. Now, I think it's one of the Japanese companies, so they'd have been picking sort of names that were playing in the European competitions. And in the late 80s, that wasn't English teams. So there's an interesting thing with that.
Well, the reason why I brought that up was I was kind of surprised that there wasn't any more Eastern European representation. Because mm-hmm. Because of the influx of Eastern European teams into the later rounds of the European Cup at that point.
At that point, they were doing quite well, but again,
that's why I can see AC Milan and I can see Barcelona, because that was really sort of their era of dominance in Europe.
Well, Barcelona didn't really do particularly well until about 1992, I think, or 91 was the time that they won the European Cup. Juventus made sense. They won it in 85, and they were a thereabouts team for a while. Atletico, because of the fact that they were the three big Spanish teams, they were a big team. Now, I could be wrong about Benfica and Bayern, but there certainly wasn't any Eastern influence. Because for however well they did, Steaua were that dreary Romanian team. Red Star were that dreary Serbian team. You got better TV coverage from other teams. But I digress. The big one on home computers for me was MicroProse Soccer. MicroProse Soccer is still, in my heart, one of the greatest video games of all time. It was just crazy slide tackles, crazy banana kicks, crazy overhead shots. I used Oman to beat Brazil 3-0 once in a World Cup final. It was a mental game and a lot of fun. as graphics improve, the likes of these kind of games get left behind. But the purity of the original football managing games, they carried on. What was basically a spreadsheet in 1992 eventually became Championship Manager, eventually became Football Manager as we know it now. The management simulators, which is, I have to confess, the area I know best. I've played FIFA. I'm not great. I've never played Pro Evolution. We'll be talking about those two in a little bit because those are big hitters. But for in terms of football manager games, even on an 8-bit computer, that's a comparatively easy thing to put together. The sophistication you get nowadays with the likes of your football manager thing, you can even get that on a mobile phone now. And I mean, in some ways, they've become more complex, more difficult to put together than the likes of, we'll say, most. I want to not include the two that you're going to be talking about. But Football Manager is an addiction.
Yes.
There's a film about it being an addiction.
There are countless scholarly journal articles about it being an addiction.
There are numerous stories on Facebook and Twitter of individuals losing significant others because they played Football Manager, and employment because they played Football Manager.
I've managed to avoid both of those problems so far.
And scholastic degrees.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
A lot of kids basically lost their PhDs. Dropped out of school to play Football Manager.
There is one story that I do have to mention, and Joanne, my wife, if you're listening, this is why I need to continue to play and play more. But there was a team in, I think, Azerbaijan or Armenia, I'm not too sure which, second tier team. They advertised the role of manager and they gave it to a kid who was maybe 25, but his experience was solely on Football Manager because they thought, why not?
That was Armenia.
Armenia.
I don't remember the team name, but it was Armenia.
Famously as well, some guy applied for the Middlesbrough job many years ago.
It's been five years now?
But he applied for the Middlesbrough job based on his CV. They gave him the best letter back to say, listen, you're great. We can't actually afford a manager as good as you. Your credentials are impeccable, and we're humbled that you even thought of us, or something like that. Steve Gibson was the chair at Middlesbrough, and credit to him. Hopefully he's not horrible in other ways, because I like him in this way.
There's a kid, 6 years old, I forget where in Central Europe, who has been playing Football Manager. The club, they had a vacancy, and he applied for it. So instead of hiring him, they gave him a one-day contract to manage. I forget who it is that he's managing against, and who the club is he's managing, but for the fact that he did that and he's had some success in Football Manager with this club, they said, sure, why not? We'll give you a day. Have a ball.
Wow. How did it go, do you know?
I haven't seen anything. I haven't been able to find a follow-up on it.
Okay. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that you get the initial story, but you don't want the rest of it because it'll disappoint one way or another. So I know you definitely have played. Have you ever played at Augustus?
I have so far managed to avoid Football Manager. It's not that I don't want to play it. It's that I'm pretty sure if I do start playing it, if I play it anywhere near the amount that I currently play FIFA, I won't get any work done. I mean, literally, there have been days where I have paperwork that I have to fill out for the FDA. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting at my house, and I'm like, nope, I'm going to boot up FIFA real quick and play a game or two. 7 hours later, oh, that's still not done. Whoops.
Yeah.
Let's play some more FIFA. It's 9 o'clock.
That sounds like me last night with my current career in Singapore.
Oh, yes, I heard. Just so those of you who haven't been following Eric and mine's private, personal, and you shouldn't be reading these Facebook conversations, we've been managing teams in Asia of late.
It's been a wild, wild affair. But that does bring into an interesting point, which is one of the things that I love about Football Manager is the weird stories you get to tell about your management career in the game.
Yeah.
And kind of how that narrative in its own way kind of weaves itself into the overall football narrative, especially in terms of the fan experience.
Because football fans are going to play football games, and yeah, as long as I've been a football fan, I've been playing football games. Any of them. I mean, like international soccer, for God's sake. It's a terrible, terrible game. I played that for hours. Anything like that, if you're a football fan, you'll play more in order to become more connected with them. And I think
so you're first in line to play jumpers for goalposts online?
Yeah, that kind of thing. What I'm interested in is we have the reverse thing happening where gamers end up becoming football fans. And that nicely moves me to ask Augustus, tell us a bit about FIFA. because that is a game that is has helped America become a soccer-playing nation.
And therein lies the rub. I don't think it has.
No?
No, I really don't. I don't think playing FIFA has translated into more people playing the game for real.
I think there
are a number of football fans, but I don't think that there has been a significant rise in the amount of people that want to actually get on the pitch in America due to FIFA. Are there a couple? I'm sure. But to the point where, you know, football is, you know, the number one sport in America, or even number two, or even number three, nah, I don't think it's there. Granted, I do enjoy FIFA quite a bit. I have 4 manager mode saves right now running.
Wow.
One with my beloved Liverpool, one with Orlando City, one with Aldershot Town, and FIFA 15 that I've managed to get them promoted straight up and wreck the Premier League, which is always fun.
Nice.
Hey, that's how we do it in Aldershot. I forgot who the 4th one was, but I don't think I've played them in like a year. But FIFA, it is addictive in its relative simplicity. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take, I mean, with Football Manager, and granted this is coming from somebody that hasn't played it, it seems as if it is a very intensive game.
Yeah,
you really have to pay attention to everything, whereas FIFA is just pick it up and play. And it's the same thing with Pro Evo to an extent. You just pick it up and you play. There's not really too much thinking that goes into playing FIFA. I mean, the same strategy that worked in FIFA 1997 still works in FIFA 2007, and will probably still work in FIFA 2017, which is find a really fast team, kick the ball to them, and watch them run past defenses.
See, I have an issue with FIFA, with the way they changed their control schematic in 2012, with taking away the ability to crowd players off the ball. You can't do that anymore. You have to have that little bit of space, because they wanted to open up play for offensive means and to give players the opportunity to score more.
You can still do that. It's just it requires like 3 extra button presses.
But it's not nearly as effective as going into playing online as, let's say, Sheffield Wednesday and beating Chelsea 3-1. You can't do that anymore. You can't take lower division teams like that into the bigger matches and expect to actually be able to compete.
I don't know. I've taken Orlando Pirates and beaten some big teams. I've beaten Bayern Munich guys at least 4 times with Orlando Pirates. I do see what you mean. It is a rarity in this day and age to take one of the lower sides and beat a big side in FIFA. I mean, well, mainly because everybody you see is playing either Real Madrid, Barcelona,
yeah.
Who else?
Chelsea.
AC Milan, Liverpool, Man United.
Well, you don't see too many Liverpools anymore. Really, you don't. Not after Suarez.
City?
You see a lot of Manchester City.
I think the best I've seen so far is Colo Colo. That was the oddest match I've encountered online. Yeah. It was Colo Colo, so I decided to respond by playing, Rosario Central.
You took the big team then. Oh, very, very good. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Of course.
I do like playing Orlando Pirates and seeing people just kind of freak out. And I think I got one person that wanted to play Kaiser Chiefs, but I think
he
backed out. Maybe because he was looking at the ratings, like, oh, can't play these guys.
That's one of the things with regard to online competition that I think makes FIFA interesting is when you dig hard enough through the number of people who are online to play, you'll find someone who will try to match you in terms of the odd, obscure team you choose. If you're of that mentality, which I am. Because I just think it's more fun to play with teams that are not your standard run-of-the-mill big clubs.
So you're both FIFA players. Have you ever played each other?
We have not.
What system do you play?
I have 14 on 360, and I have 15 on Xbox One.
That would be wise, because I play PS3.
Well, shit. Whoops.
So this isn't going to happen anytime soon.
They haven't cross-platform yet.
No. Yeah, they have not cross-platform. I will have to say, this is coming after this has nothing to do with anything, but Xbox just announced that they will have backwards compatibility for the 360 games on Xbox One.
Good.
Now, if we could get him on Football Manager, we could have him join our online competition right now.
Yes.
I kind of like having free time and doing things.
It's all right. We're only managing in Israel.
Well, yeah. Even still. Sorry.
We figured we'd pick a nation that we don't really have much invested in just to see what we could come up with.
Moving on from FIFA. Pro Evo.
Konami's competition to EA Sports. Pro Evolution.
honestly, probably technically the better game.
Oh, it's far and away in terms of gameplay, in my mind.
So this is what an old guy like me would remember having played as Sensible Soccer, yeah?
Yes.
I never played Sensible
Once
Soccer.
Once was Sensible Soccer, became Winning 11 when it was first started, and then when it was ported over to the States, became Pro Evolution Soccer.
Well, it was Winning 11 for a few years, then it was all combined under the Pro Evolution.
Yeah, it was Winning 11 Pro Evo, after 6 or 7 was when they started doing them both, and then... Then they turned it into Pro Evo.
And somewhere in there it was International Superstar Soccer, which would have been the early aughts. So I've been playing that series for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I love that series, and I love the sheer ridiculousness of its customization. I could go in and build a team of my friends for a Louisville club, a nondescript Louisville club, for every year, up until this year when I decided it would be a good idea to do two teams.
Yes. What would there be now? Two teams,
yes. And you can customize your crest designs. On the game itself, you have the templates for the shield designs, and they have a bunch of clip art you can use. Or you can import it in from the internets, which is fun.
I will have to note that this is kind of a risque subject, but if there is a 4chan group called the 4chan Cup, where they take Pro Evolution and they make a team for every single board at 4chan.
Oh, wow.
And they throw them in together for the 4chan Cup, and they have four competitions a year.
Mm-hmm.
Their main cups, the summer and winter, and their introductory cups in the spring and fall. And it's quite entertaining to see the designs of not just the... the kits themselves, but they sometimes have crazy designs. I've seen unicorn heads. I've seen...
That's going to be bad for headers, though.
I've seen literally a semi-truck.
Mm-hmm.
A player is a semi-truck. I've seen a player has a blimp flying by him and recording his vision the entire time. It's quite entertaining, so if you are of a certain age, I will say 18 and older, and you don't feel like... bogging yourself down with less than PC conversations, check out the 4chan Cup. They're usually on Fridays and Saturdays.
So you're saying that there's at least one team of streakers in there, yeah?
Actually, no.
What?
I think all of them are everybody's clothed.
4chan, you have disappointed me for the latest time.
Haven't they actually started recording them and putting them on YouTube?
Yes, they are recorded and put on YouTube. At least the highlights are. I don't think the... Well, no, I take that back. I think they did start backing up the games this year. At least this go-around. There are a couple games backed up. I've forgotten completely where... They are, but if 4chan Cup on Twitter, at 4chan Cup, that should get you all the information you need to know.
But the really interesting thing with Pro Evolution is that they've got the licenses for the European Cup, the UEFA Cup, and the European Super Cup just off the top. They got that for another 3 years this past week, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
And then they also have the Copa Sudamericana and the Copa Libertadores.
You had me at Copa Sudamericana.
And they don't have the official license for it yet, but they do have the Asian Champions League in there as one of the playable modes.
Actually, the Asian Champions League is a very interesting and fun competition. I'm glad to see they have that.
So now you too can live out your fantasy of taking Defense or Sporting to the Club World Cup and playing Auckland City in the final.
Well, I mean, Auckland City, Defence or Sporting would be delighted to have the opportunity to play such a team as Auckland City.
Massive team.
And incredibly successful, but that's another day's discussion.
But as was discussed, you know, the fluidity of the game is a bit more intuitive in terms of gameplay and fluidity, and even during the clunky lean years that were the mid-aughts through about 2013... when they were in the process of redesigning their entire control schematic and their gameplay engine. It could still play, it just wasn't nearly the same pace that it was before. That's always been one of its strengths, has been the gameplay and the customization, especially in terms of being able to customize your own leagues for many years, where you could basically pick who you wanted to have in your Italy's, in your England's, in your France's, in your Holland's. So what they lack in licenses for crests and team names and kits and everything else, they more than make up for in the sheer ability to design what you want out of it.
I will have to say the one thing that separates FIFA from Pro Evolution is the fact that they were the first to have the FIFA Pro license, and so they had access to literally everybody they could fit in the game. And you know, earlier they were limited by cartridge size or disc size, and so it was just a matter of can we program this team in. Now, you know, with the licenses being kind of shuttled off, the FIFA Pro license doesn't really do as much as it used to. So I have to say I like having official teams, but it's not a necessity. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think, you know, Pro Evolution is like, oh, we're not going to spend all that money, so we're just going to make a quality game instead.
You can get in, you can edit players, you can create players all the way down to their animation, their running style, their kicking techniques, their goal celebrations.
You've got my attention once more.
That's my favorite part, is you have a database of, I think it's about 100 goal celebrations. And they range from your simple just running with your arms up in the air like a fool to the mowing them down with a machine gun, mowing down your teammates.
Firstly, I have to say, are you saying that Marco Tardelli's celebration after scoring a goal in the 1982 World Cup is like a fool?
Wouldn't you be like a fool if you scored a goal in the 1982 World Cup?
That is the greatest celebration of all time.
Gazza, you're a 96. Spray bottle in the face.
I'm going to stick with my answer. Marco Tardelli. But wow, that's pretty cool.
It is wild. The sheer depth of what you can do with that game.
Well, that's been a nice, I'm going to say, introduction to it. So, guys, I want, before we go, tell me your greatest achievement in your game of choice. My game of choice is clearly Football Manager, because I'm old, and it's actually quite recently winning at odds of 5,000-1, winning the Indonesian Premier Division with a team that had been non-league merely two seasons before.
FIFA 13, Champions League final. I was playing Liverpool, and I was facing Barcelona on World Class. I was losing 3-1 at the 80th minute, and I won 4-3 thanks to a hat trick from, you know what, I'm gonna have fun. Guess who scored that hat trick for me in that game?
Luis Garcia.
No.
I would have said Suarez, but
no. FIFA 13.
13. Okay.
You will never guess this. And people,
Jamie Carragher.
No.
Okay, that's about the wildest guess I can.
Daniel Agger.
No. Here's a hint. He's not a current Liverpool player, nor has he ever been.
Rooney?
I got him on a free, and he came up trumps for me in that game with a hat trick.
What position?
And 13. He is a striker.
Lewandowski.
No. I will give you the greatest hint of all. He is currently a lord.
Ah, I should know this. No, I'm going to have to go and say who.
Lord Nicholas Bentner scored a hat trick in 13 minutes for me to win me the Champions League against Barcelona.
And you did this in ordinary time?
I did this in regular time. Followed up by the next year, 6-5 in extra time, followed by 4 goals from Nicholas Bentner. One of the greatest achievements I've ever had, still.
It is always very tempting for me, every time we talk about, what are we going to talk about in the away leg this week, to say Nicholas Bentner.
Or Bhutan.
But we're going to hold, we've talked about Bhutan on the away leg, but we're going to hold off on Nicholas Bentner. We're going to tease you fans for a little while.
Talk about Nicholas Bentner in FIFA, huh?
Yeah. So, Pro Ev, what's your best? What's your greatest?
I don't have a standout moment from Pro Evolution.
No?
No. The standout moment that sticks in my mind is Football Manager 2011 with a ragtag Hellas Verona squad sitting in Serie A.
Go on.
Just the wonder kid keeper I found at Juve Stabia, Andrea Seculin, who had 26 clean sheets in all competitions that season for me.
Impressive.
We won the Serie A Cup. Still to date, the only piece of hardware the true hardware I've won. The finished runner-up in the promotion that season. The only reason why we didn't do it was because my guys were tired from playing all of those damn matches.
Yeah, Serie C Cup is kind of exhausting and endless.
Two-legged ties through the entire thing.
And on that, this two-legged tie is coming close to a close. Folks, please tweet us, email us your stories. We like playing football games or soccer games. So please, we'd love to hear your greatest ever achievement or what's your favorite game that we didn't mention. I mean, I didn't mention Tracksuit Manager, an old Commodore 64 game.
The other thing, too, is give us, if you play Football Manager, ask us about possibly joining up. We could do a league of our supporters. Or if you play any of the FIFA on whatever system you play, give us usernames. You can play us online.
Yeah, you know, and where to find us. You can find us always on the Facebook at The Boarding Crew.
It's Lou Boarding Crew.
Sorry, Lou Boarding Crew on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay, I just generally type in The Boarding and all of a sudden it comes up.
Yes.
We are on Twitter.
At Lou Boarding Crew.
And on email.
Louoval.boarding.crew@gmail.com.
Okay. Where can we find you guys as human beings yourselves?
Usually at work.
Good.
Other than work, you can find me at awaiters86 on Twitter, Augustus Alexander Waiters on Facebook. You can find me at pretty much every Derby City Roofers home game because I will be there. You can find me at every single Louisville City FC home game because I will be there too.
Boys and girls.
Where can we find you, Captain?
You can find me as the guy with the sword who's probably about to get into trouble with somebody. But most importantly, you can find... Well, not most importantly, much less importantly. And you can also find me as at BluebeardRex on the Twitter, where I ramble about football stuff quite a bit.
We look forward to seeing you guys Friday.
Mm-hmm. Hope you're all coming out for that game and you'll join us in supporting DCR.
We'll just cut all of this out.
Yeah.
Either that or they're having like some sort of Smokey and the Bandit shootout while driving on the road, which would be awesome.
Who's Jackie Gleason in this case?